Here is the bonus assignment for chapter 6. And folks, this is a lot of fun. All right, for me it is anyway, and I hope for you it is, because you're going to get lost. No, I don't mean get lost physically. I mean, hopefully you're going to take a trip to the library, pick up the value line, and just start thumbing through it and getting really lost in all the different stocks and companies and data that is available. So let's read together. Take a trip to a library that has the value line. Now, the Southwestern College Library doesn't have it anymore, so my apologies. On the class website is a listing of some libraries that have the value line. The San Diego Downtown Library, the Chula Vista Downtown Library, and several of the branch libraries in San Diego have it. You're going to consult the value line and choose one or two stocks from the list below. Now, at the very bottom of this handout are many stocks, and what you'll find is that most of them are, well, all of them are large cap, mostly multinational companies. They're all based in the United States, but they are companies that have global footprints. Now, if you want to choose another company, that's okay, but it's probably going to be difficult for you to get all the data you need to perform these models, because many other companies that don't pay dividends, that are growing very quickly, they are, you know, not suitable for the models that we're looking at. Maybe the price models, maybe, but the dividend discount models don't always work because they're not paying any dividends. So number one, you're going to do the price to earnings model and predict next year's price at this time next year. Price to cash flow model, price to sales model for next year. And then using the dividend discount model, the constant perpetual dividend growth model, you'll predict the present values at 12, 10, and 8%. The discounted cash flow model, or sometimes called the dividends and earnings model, you predict the current present values at an 8% required return. Now, remember, as it says on the right-hand side in the box, the models will not work if the growth rate of the dividends is greater than the required rate of return. So you may have to try higher required rates of return if the growth rate is greater than 8%, 10%, or 12% required rate of return. Now, you may need notes. So that's the assignment, is to use the models that we discussed in Chapter 6 to do your own prediction. And remember, you know, you're not trying to be precise. In fact, you're trying to be imprecise. There are various notes now we need to look at, because sometimes it's easy to find the data, sometimes it's not easy, and sometimes you have to just basically make things up. You have to make assumptions. So let's read the notes. You may need to compute the five-year averages for the earnings per share, cash flow per share, sales per share, if the value line does not have them, but they do. The growth rate of each is computed by using the following example. You take the 2013 value minus the 2012 value, and you divide that by the 2012 value. And then you do that back 5 years, 2012 minus 2011 divided by 2011, and do that back 5 years. Or just use the value line's projected annual rates, but that is not as much fun, is it? Use the actual 2013 or prior dividends per share, and then the projected 2014, 2015, 2016 dividends per share for the constant perpetual dividend growth discount model. As with the price ratio models, the dividend growth rate is computed by the following formula. Next year's dividends minus last year's dividends divided by last year's dividends. So that's the growth. That's how you compute the growth. Remember that sometimes the model will produce aberrant results, such as division by zero or negative values, depending upon the required return. If this happens, you can adjust the required rate of return up or down until you get reasonable values, or you could simply display not available, not applicable as the result. For the last model, the discounted cash flow model, use the value line estimated or actual dividends and extrapolate the estimated dividends until 2015 or 2016. You see why that 3, 4, 5 year time frame is so important? Use the dividend growth rate you calculated for the constant perpetual dividend growth discount model to calculate estimates of the 2013 through 2016 dividends. Use an appropriate value for the target price of early 2016. Now, you can use your own prediction or look at the value line target price range and choose a price somewhere in between. How's that for accuracy, huh? Remember, above all else, that we want to eliminate any pretense of absolute precision. You know what pretense means? We don't want to make ourselves look so precise, because we are predicting the weather only worse. And it is my sincerest belief that you actually enjoy this assignment, that you go to the library and literally, you keep using the phrase get lost, but I mean it. I mean it. It is so, to me, exciting and interesting and intriguing and awe-inspiring when you flip through, as it says at the bottom, flip through the value line index and gawk at the sheer number of publicly traded companies. Now remember, the value line doesn't do these penny stocks, and there are thousands and thousands of them. The value line only looks at serious, bona fide, real companies. Could any one person ever become capable and qualified to give advice on more than a small percentage of the companies available for investment? Can you now understand why mutual funds and other money management companies have entire teams of analysts and portfolio managers? Yeah, because you need them. No one person can do it all. The value line index also contains market commentary. And folks, they're human. They make mistakes as everybody else does. But they're very, very good. At least they've been that in the past, and let's hope for success for them and others in the future. And ask for the value line at the library, they'll give you two huge binders. Sometimes they break it up into little boxes. And the first one is the index, which contains market commentary, and it contains the list of all the stocks. And then you go into the other binder, which has all the stock sheets. But the first one, the index, also has market commentary. And it also has sample portfolios for income investors and for growth investors and for growth and income investors. So check out what they have to say. And what do they say about the current market conditions? I hope you enjoy this bonus assignment. And if you do, that is a good sign that you might want to become your own mutual fund manager and build your own portfolio of stocks, because if you are level-headed, as we said, prudent, take prudent risks. You have to take risks, but you take prudent risks. Don't try to follow the next big thing. You should do well. And if you enjoy this, not only should you do well financially, it'll also be a fun thing to do. It'll also be something that you will look forward to and won't be a chore. And if you don't enjoy it, well, that's why there's mutual funds. Have fun!